Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Dagestan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay. I've been spending about the last hour or so listening to the full... I sacrificed for you. You're welcome. If you didn't spend your time listening to this lunacy in Missoula, Montana, yesterday afternoon, I spent some time sacrificing so you don't have to. Oh, but I'm going to punish you a little bit this morning. I'm going to have some of the highlights. I think you'll enjoy it. I'm going to have some of the highlights from the AOC Bernie Sanders rally in Missoula yesterday. The funniest part of the whole thing, the absolute funniest part of the whole thing is I noticed there were some Montana Democrats, you know, in the backdrop, in the video. I was watching the PBS live stream recorded now, of course, a version of the speeches yesterday. And I was watching it, and I noticed, I was like, oh, there's a Democrat legislator out of Missoula. And she actually is a woman. And I don't think she got a shout out from AOC or Bernie on the stage. No, a real woman, a Missoula Democrat serving in the Montana legislature. Nobody cares. But guess who gets the shout out from the stage? Zoe Zephyr. AOC mentions Zoe Zephyr, who is a man who, you know, dresses like a woman, identifies as a woman. That's who gets the shout out from the stage, is the person who probably is the reason the Democrats lost so heavily in the 2024 elections just less than 6 months ago. AOC refers to him as her and she, of course, several times. But then AOC Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says basically that he is my girl. That's my girl right there, which has got to make you wonder. You know, the Democrats. Now, Ryan Zinke, by the way, I saw Heather Swift, who's his chief of staff and who's been his campaign manager as well. She shared Ryan Zinke, the Western Montana congressman's fundraising numbers yesterday. And, man, he is really his campaign is ready to rock and roll. But the Democrats, they apparently think they've got a chance. But what it makes you wonder is with AOC giving a clear ringing endorsement of him, my girl, AOC, you know, Zephyr there. Is this AOC and the Bernie Bros signaling to the Montana Democrat Party that you better run Zephyr for the Western congressional seat? Or are they going to put old Fussy Bussy in there, the guy who lost the governor's race by 20 points? Either way, I try to eat carb-free most of the time, but I will break out the popcorn for that one. You know, and not just a little popcorn bag, you know, not just to throw the little bag in the microwave and wait till the popping slows down to between 3 to 5 seconds. I'm going to get the big tin, you know, where it's got the paper separators, where you've got the caramel corn here and the cheddar popcorn here. And then the, what's the other one they got? They have all sorts of crazy popcorn these days. They even have protein popcorn. Did you know this? Like, just like I have the protein chips, they have protein flavored popcorn. And you know where they got that, of course. Yeah, Billings Last Diet. I know those guys have everything. So even protein popcorn to sit back and laugh.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see increasing clouds across the area for today with high temperature readings staying back at around the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. Also seeing some rain shower chances later in the day, especially towards Bozeman. Rain showers turn over to some light snow tonight with 1 to 3 inches in Bozeman. Inch or less for areas towards Billings with lows near 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Securing America.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth welcoming El Salvador's Minister of Defense, Renee Moreno Monroy, to the Pentagon Wednesday. Hegseth saying the country's relationship is stronger than ever.
We just want to extend our thanks for detaining dangerous members of foreign terrorist organizations at the Terrorism Confinement Center in El Salvador.
Several hundred MS-13 gang members living in the U.S. have now been returned to El Salvador.
El Salvador has set a great example for strong bilateral cooperation, mutually beneficial cooperation with the United States.
Minister Monroy says his country is looking to expand on that.
We want to improve that relationship. That's why I'm here.
Secretary Hegseth adding that El Salvador is the type of partner the U.S. is seeking.
We want to stand strong with allies who stand with us and help deliver peace through strength, especially in our hemisphere.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Hey.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I just finished listening to and recording the full Bernie Sanders speech as well. And you know what's interesting about Bernie Sanders is I think if you listen to his full speech, and I'll bet you there were some people that went there just to listen. There are people that will say, hey, I'll go to a Trump rally, even if they didn't vote for Trump. There are people that will say, hey, I'll go to a Bernie Sanders AOC thing, even if I'm never going to vote for them, just to listen, just to take it in, right? And so that's why, you know, I could sit here and, like, listen to what they have to say and be like, huh, okay, all right. I want to start by saying one thing in which I agree with Bernie Sanders. Now, I want to do the same for AOC, because I think, look, at the end of the day, you know, we can just sit back here and rah, rah, rah all day long, right? That's the easy thing to do. But I think you also need to look and say, okay, wait a minute, let's listen to what some of these people are saying. Here's the bigger picture, though. Missoula, Montana, Missoula County. I went back and looked at the election results from 2024, from 6 months ago, roughly. Be 6 months here in May, of course. 42,000 people in Missoula County voted for Kamala Harris. That's a lot of crazy in one county. Now, Donald J. Trump overwhelmingly won the state of Montana, but 42,000 people, you know, in Missoula County voted for Kamala Harris. Let that sink in for a little bit. So when you see under 10,000 people gather for AOC and Bernie, I got to be honest, I thought they would have gotten more people in Missoula for that event. But where's the one thing that I would agree with Bernie Sanders on? We may not agree on how to solve it, how to fix it, but I think, and by the way, this point also undermines everything that Bernie Sanders has ever stood for. I mean, here's the thing. If you sat in that arena and you were listening to all this stuff that Bernie Sanders was talking about, how much are your premiums? Yeah, thanks a lot, Obamacare. Thanks a lot, you know, Montana Democrats who shoved that down our throats, with a Montana Democrat senator being the tie-breaking vote to shove Obamacare down our throats. What are your premiums? But the one thing where I agree with Bernie Sanders, and you can see why he gins up some of these folks, is he said, he was talking about Elon Musk, and he's saying, you know, Elon Musk has this percentage of all of the nation's wealth. If you look at how wealthy Elon Musk, he has this percentage of it. One man should not have that much of the nation's wealth. But again, Bernie Sanders, and the Bernie bros, you're making our point for us. Bernie Sanders is totally undermining himself right now, because Bernie Sanders is not standing with the working people. He's not standing with the president of the United States, who is fighting for the working class people. Why do you think one man can have such a high percentage of the nation's wealth? because so much of our nation's wealth has been destroyed and demolished and sent overseas because of the deindustrialization of America. But see, this is the problem with the rich socialists like AOC and Bernie Sanders. Is, yeah, they'll come to town and I'm here for the working man and AOC. I was a bartender. Well, good for you. Then why don't you come out here and talk about how President Trump and the Montana Republicans are working to say no tax on tips? She's too busy lining her pockets with your cash and her campaign donors, right? You want to sit here and brag about being a waitress? You want to brag about being a bartender? Because this is the point where I would agree with AOC. You know, she was like, I was a waitress and I was a bartender. And yes, you can be that and be a member of Congress. And I agree. I think I've even said this before. You know, when people are like, oh, you know, she's just a bartender, she can't be a congressman. I'm like, hey, look, I can go find a lot of bartenders around Montana, and they would do a hell of a lot better job in Congress than every single one of those congressional Democrats, especially AOC. But, you know, AOC, you want to sit here and, you know, tell these people in Missoula, Montana, I was a waitress and I was a bartender. Okay, well, why don't you support waitresses and bartenders and support President Trump and Senator Steve Daines and Senator Tim Sheehy and Congressman Zinke and Congressman Downing? I believe they all support President Trump's no tax on tips, if I'm not mistaken. I know both of our senators do because we had a big Senate race last year. Okay. Now, no mention of that. No man. But Bernie Sanders, no man should have all this wealth. You know how we make sure that one man doesn't have such a high percentage of the nation's wealth? Bernie, we make our timber industry great again. We make the auto industry in America great again. We make mining in America great again. In other words, we rebuild the wealth that your party and your liberal judges and your insane socialist policies have destroyed for decades now. And by the way, Bernie, didn't you and the Bernie bros, you know, there's a lot of Bernie bros who voted for Donald J. Trump, not just once, but twice. And because they have agreed with some of what Bernie Sanders has talked about, you know, especially when it comes to trade and, you know, other countries taking advantage of America. And, you know, if they're going to tariff us, we should be able to tariff them. But, huh, and instead, the Bernie, you know, Bernie and AOC are bashing President Trump's efforts on tariffs and to bring this wealth and this industry and a lot of these union jobs, by the way, back to the United States of America. So anyway, there was a couple of things where I agree with Bernie and AOC. What do you think?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us want to lose weight, but diet and exercise are a much better way to do it than, say, having some kind of serious disease. In much the same spirit, we want to see inflation fall, yet it matters how this is done. The March report on the Consumer Price Index, which showed overall prices actually nudging down for the month, had some of that flavor. It's hard to have robust inflation if consumers are reluctant to spend anything. And the economy is driven by consumer spending. That's not good news. It's the most important reason why most forecasters think that when overall economic growth estimates for the first quarter are announced this week, they'll show only a trickle of growth, if any at all. Consumer sentiment and spending alike were depressed even before the financial upheaval of early April. And few of us are reading the March CPI report as indicative of where prices are going. The huge tariffs on Chinese goods will be a rude surprise for consumers and businesses alike, even if only part of the tax bill is passed through. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Republican North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis had a very simple question for U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer when he testified recently before the Senate Finance Committee. Greer was there to talk about tariffs and the administration's trade policy. Quote, whose throat do I get to choke if this proves to be wrong? Asked Tillis of Greer about the tariffs. Well, Senator, you can certainly always talk to me, replied Greer. Back to Tillis. So if you own this decision, I'll look to you to figure out if we're going to be successful, said Tillis. If you don't own the decision, I'm just trying to figure out whose throat I get to choke if it's wrong. The question underscored consternation that many Republicans have with the tariffs, and congressional Republicans are willing to stand behind the president with the tariffs for now. Quote, is it going to have an impact on your capital markets? Well, yes, duh, replied Republican Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, and it's not fun. It's very, very painful. Whether this will have a happy ending or a sad ending depends in large part what President Trump does next, said Kennedy. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers intend to engage with state and tribal co-regulators, industry and agricultural stakeholders, environmental and conservation stakeholders, and of course the general public on certain key topics related to the implementation of the definition of the waters of the United States in light of the Supreme Court's 2023 decision in Sackett versus Environmental Protection Agency. And they intend to do so through some upcoming listening sessions. Now, the listening sessions for states is coming up on April 29th. The listening session for tribes on April 30th. The listening session for industry and agricultural stakeholders on May 1. The listening session for environmental and conservation stakeholders is also on May 1. And the listening session for the public and local governments is to be announced. Now, the agency are also accepting written recommendations from members of the public via a recommendations docket. However, those written recommendations must be received on or before April 23rd. Stay with us for more Ag News right after this.
Hi, this is Brian Gill. At Gilbert Angus, we're focused on building genetics that work for the real world and building relationships that last. Join us at the ranch near Timber Lake, South Dakota for our spring bull and female sale. We're offering 40 coming yearling bulls, 60 fall-born age advantage bulls, and 150 commercial replacement heifers. Can't make it? Bid online and view the full catalog at dvauction.com. Make plans to join us Wednesday, April 23rd at 1 p.m. Mountain Time at Gilbert Angus.
Not all cattle supplements are created equal. FlaxLick is nutritionally engineered to bridge nutritional gaps, delivering the omega-3s, protein, vitamins, and minerals your herd needs for growth, reproduction, and immune support. Its 24-hour feeding system ensures consistent, controlled nutrient delivery day and night. Backed by research, trusted by producers, FlaxLick is not just another tub. It's nutritionally engineered for optimal performance. Explore FlaxLick and find a dealer at smartlick.com. That's smartlic.com.
Well, legislation is currently moving through Congress as we speak that would delist wolves under the Endangered Species Act. In fact, it just passed out of a key committee, the House Natural Resources Committee. Now, similar legislation was introduced last year, but supporters are much more confident about its chances of passing this year now that Republicans control the House, Senate, and the White House. The bill is called the Pet and Livestock Protection Act and now heads to the full House for a vote there. Supporters include some of America's leading agricultural groups, including the American Farm Bureau, NCBA, and Public Lands Council. And finally this morning, as the U.S. closes in on a scrapie-free designation, the time has come to begin conversations about where the U.S. sheep industry goes once it crosses the seven-year finish line established by the World Organization for Animal Health. That conversation started in earnest last week at the American Sheep Industry Association hosted Scrapie-Free in the U.S., moving from an eradication to a surveillance program forum during the National Institute for Animal Agriculture's annual conference in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information, you can jump online and visit sheepusa.org. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be fun all morning long. Bernie and AOC. We'll do a little bit here, a little bit there throughout the morning. And then, of course, as the morning goes on, as more folks start to wake up, By the way, beautiful morning here outside of our Montana Talk studios. If you thought it was spring, think again. Of course, a good dose of fresh snow looking outside of our Montana Talk studios. Shoot us a message on the app with what it's looking like outside your studio windows this morning as well, as you can jump in on the conversation. So that means you've got a studio in your house. Or your car is a studio right now. You can call in and be on the radio. I got a couple of messages on the Montana Talks app here talking about Bernie Sanders and AOC and their rally in Missoula yesterday. Andy and Whitefish said this: hell, Bernie got robbed by the Clintons twice. I mean, that's true. Look, if Bernie actually believed the things that he claims to actually believe about the working class, living wage, he would have followed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. right into the Trump administration. He would have abandoned the Democrat Party. I just feel like Bernie Sanders, he is so stuck in the past. He's using the same talking points that he used decades ago. And it's like, Bernie, do you not even see what is going on right now? And do you not even see how President Trump is working to fix some of the things that you've long complained about? And yet here you are, and he was on the stage yesterday saying, we've got to do everything to stop Trump, with his Muppet voice. Jeff and Victor said this: look at the hypocrite Bernie. He needs to shut his lying mouth until he gives his wealth away and shows us he truly believes all his rhetoric. You know, when I was watching the crowd there in Missoula cheer on the attacks against Elon Musk, I mean, the first knee-jerk reaction is like, well, then why don't you guys go rescue astronauts from space then? Why don't you guys go provide Starlink internet access to Ukraine? You claim to love Ukraine so freaking much. Why don't you go help out? I mean, but I think what drives a lot of the Bernie Sanders AOC crowd is they like to covet things. They despise success. And so when even these rich hypocrites like AOC and Bernie Sanders get up there and, the Elon Musk is awful because he's so rich and he's so successful. I didn't hear them criticize George Soros. I didn't hear them criticize Hans-Jörg Wyss, Warren Buffett, anybody, right? But I think what drives a lot of that crowd, we'll get into the funny highlights in a minute, but this was, I think, another observation that I had. Maybe you had this as well. A lot of people in that arena, they despise the fact that some of their friends and neighbors make more money than they do and are successful. And they look at some of you small business owners and they think, oh, he didn't do that. Oh, he's got all that money and I don't. And so when they jeer at Elon Musk, they're really jeering at you because they despise out not covet thing. Foreign concept. By the way, speaking of thou shalt not covet, I thought it was interesting. AOC at one point in her remarks, she was saying, and we all will rely on our faith. Our faith in ourselves, our faith in each other, our faith in our communities. And then she kind of stopped. And it's like, wow, here we are in the middle of Holy Week. And, you know, you got Good Friday tomorrow and Palm Sunday or Passover, you know, for our Jewish friends as well. And it's like, our faith in me and my fellow leftists. And, man, if you put your faith in people, and I don't care whether those people are conservatives or libertarians or liberals or Democrats or Republicans, if you put your faith in people, just prepare to be disappointed. I mean, Ronald Reagan, it was a great quote that he had when he was president back in the 1980s about it. He probably even had the quote even before then when he was, you know, governor of California, before California split off into the ocean practically. About how, you know, if you put your trust in people, people will disappoint you. But if you put your you know, but if you, especially political parties, if you focus on principle and policies, policies that actually work, that's what you've got to do. Because if you just get caught up in people, people are always going to disappoint you. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting that here she is. We've got to rely on our faith. you know, with all the, you know, transgender flags waving in the audience. And faith in me and faith in you and, okay, moving on, you know. And if Joe Biden was there, he would have said, well, you know, the thing, faith in the thing. Let me, some scribble notes here. What were some of the funnier notes here? Oh, man, I had them in my head a couple of minutes ago, but I know I'll tell you what I did was I took the audio and I marked some time hacks so that here, probably later this morning, because this 6 o'clock hour just seems to fly by. So probably later this morning, I'll integrate some of the actual sound bites from both Bernie and AOC. But yeah, the funniest one was when AOC referred to this man whose original name is Zach, but now goes by the name Zoe, who is a man, and AOC got up there and totally stiff-armed any of the women in the audience that are elected members of the Montana legislature, elected Democrats, stiff-armed them, ignored them. So it's so symbolic of the Democrat Party right now, isn't it? You know, it's like the gay judge in Missoula who pushed his own personal LGBTQ agenda and said men have more privacy rights than women do. That's why the men can go in the ladies' room and you can't violate their privacy, but they can violate your privacy all day long. It's so symbolic that AOC gives this shout out to Zoe Zephyr, calling him my girl. And then just stiff-arming the actual women, elected Democrats, that are literally sitting right behind her during the speech.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, they were complaining about their friends that are getting disappeared off the streets. Their friends that are getting disappeared off the streets. Let me tell you who some of their friends are here, by the way. Let's see. Rapid Response 47 laid out a few of AOC and Bernie Sanders and their supporters in Missoula yesterday. Their friends, because that line that was delivered by both AOC and Bernie in Missoula at the Adams Center yesterday draw a lot of applause from the Bernie bros there. And again, if you heard the news update there from Dennis in Missoula, 42,000 people in Missoula County voted for Kamala Harris. They should have gotten a much bigger turnout there. But anyway, whatever, no big deal. They're just fueling the crazy. They're just continuing to pull the Democrat Party further and further and further to the left. They're locking themselves in with the crazy. But let's tell you who some of their friends are. By the way, first off, their biggest friend right now, their best friend, is Maryland man. He's not a Maryland man. He's from El Salvador. He's an illegal alien. Brian Kilmeade had a great roll-up on who this dude is earlier this morning, by the way. Let me see if they posted that video yet of his opening monologue, which would have been a little after 4 a.m. Montana time here when he went off on this guy. Yeah, sometimes they post some of that stuff, sometimes they don't, but that's a video they should post because he broke it down. When police busted this MS-13 foreign terrorist gang member named Kilmar. His name is literally Kilmar. Kilmar. He had rolls of cash in his pockets. He had identification markings as an MS-13 gang member. And the other guys he was with were obvious bad guys. But then, you know what else has come out now? Now some of the court documents are starting to come available. You would have thought that the media and the Democrats in the Senate would have at least checked the guy's record before they, you know, started scheduling trips on the taxpayer dime to go down to El Salvador to try to go meet with him. The guy was beating his wife. His own wife filed these court documents. And now, of course, she's raising money off of it. But anyway, it's like his own wife, like the guy was beating his wife. This, how symbolic of the Democrat Party is this? The Democrat Party in Missoula that had the gay judge that said, man, he really likes men. Men have more privacy rights than women. Women don't have privacy rights. No, but men do. And so making it obvious that they will choose men over women. AOC, choosing men over women. A white man, by the way. Yeah, Zoe Zephyr is a white man. I thought being a white man was the worst thing you could be in today's day and age in America. But nah, throw on some makeup and a dress and hey, yeah, pff, all right, you're cool, bro. You're cool. Yeah, all right, you're out of the white man category. Yeah, all right, you're fine. You're fine. That's my girl over there, AOC said at the rally yesterday. So who are AOC's friends that she was talking about yesterday? Brutal killers and rapists, all taken off our streets in just the past week, thanks to the tireless work of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This comes from Rapid Response 47 on X. If Democrats and the media had their way, they would still be roaming free. Here are just a few of the criminal illegals ICE has arrested in the past several days. Or in other words, these are your friends. Bernie Bros in Missoula. Luis Olmedo Quispe Poalacin, 35-year-old citizen of Ecuador, was arrested by ICE New York City. Quispe has convictions for forcible rape, sexual abuse, contact by forcible compulsion, rape, and okay, I'm going to just stop there. This is nasty stuff. All right. Eduardo Garcia Cortez, citizen of Honduras, arrested by ICE Houston. He has a conviction for murder in L.A. County, California. Well, he kind of looks like that guy that was in the backdrop of the Bernie rally yesterday in Missoula. Arcelio Barrera, citizen of Guatemala, arrested by ICE Chicago, a known member of the Paisas gang, has multiple convictions for reentry, assault, and arson in Prince William County, Virginia. Sounds like a prince, doesn't he? Jing Minglong, 50-year-old citizen of China, was arrested by ICE Baltimore. He has a conviction for sex trafficking in Bel Air, Maryland. Wow. Maryland man. Another Maryland man. AOC and Bernie don't want him to be deported because he's a Maryland man. You know, he's a Maryland man. He can't, and I'm sure he fathered a few kids, so he's a Maryland father. Man, let's see. There's more. You guys want me to? Okay, let's keep going. Jesus Guadalupe Salazar, citizen of Mexico, arrested by ICE Houston. Salazar has convictions for assault of a pregnant woman and violence against a family member in Hidalgo County, Texas. Jose Luis Orozco Torres, a 37-year-old citizen of Mexico, arrested by ICE Los Angeles. He has a conviction for lewd or lascivious acts with a child under 14 in San Mateo, California. And then there's more on the list there. Pedro Contreras Soto, arrested by ICE Los Angeles, convictions for rape of spouse by threat, sodomy with person under 14 years or with force, and kidnapping in San Jose, California. Roberto Salvador Casimiro of Mexico, arrested by ICE Chicago. Does that make him a Chicago man? Salvador has a conviction for predatory criminal sexual assault of a child in Cook County, Illinois. When AOC and Bernie Sanders say, our friends are being disappeared off the streets, ICE agents are showing up in unmarked cars. What do you want? What do you want our brave men and women who are federal law enforcement agents to do, AOC and Bernie? You want them to, hey, public service announcement, we're going to be on 6th Avenue North about 10:20 this morning. We're going to be driving a blue car it's not an EV, we're sorry, and we're going to be go grabbing some guys that might want to kill us, but heads up, this is the time and date of when we're going to be there, and this is what we're going to look like when we show up. My goodness, these people are nuts. These people are absolutely, and look at the sheep in that rally audience and the local media in Missoula included. I mean, they were just falling over themselves. Oh, my goodness. This is so cool. It's like, God, would you at least do one story that's semi-critical or retrospective of what these people are mad that rapists, murderers, sex traffickers are being removed from the streets of America when they aren't even supposed to be in America in the first place. And don't give me, well, there's good people that are illegal aliens in this country. Really? No, there's good people that want to become American citizens. There's good people that want to come to America. And if you cut in the line in front of them, if you were standing in line at the Bernie Bro rally yesterday and somebody cut in front of line, would you be mad? Or would you be like, oh, that's cool, nah. And then you don't get into the rally because, you know, a bunch of other people cut in the line. Would they just say, ah, you know, they're good people. I don't care if they cut in line in front of me and I didn't get to go to the rally. No, they'd be pissed. They'd be lighting their patchouli fume T-shirts on fire. But somebody breaks into America and cuts somebody else, a good person that wants to be an American, cuts in front of them in line. Oh, well, they're good people. No, they're not. They cut other people off. And then they come here and they rape and murder. Give me a break. Let's see. We got, who is it on the phone lines here? We got, Stephen Valentine. Steve, what's going on?
Morning, Aaron. Have you been listening to yourself? I never gave it much thought. All this criminal, these illegals that they're arresting for criminal, you know, for stuff that they've done. It's stuff they've done in the United States.
Yeah. Yeah, not Venezuela, not in Guatemala. No. Here.
Right. So how many of them that are in here that haven't gone that far yet, that haven't actually done it, but they're probably going to be, I mean, it could be millions of them that are going to do what you just read off.
Or already have and haven't been caught. Think about these criminals, even in the streets of Billings, Montana, when you catch a criminal for shoplifting or a burglary, how many other crimes do they commit that they didn't get busted for? Same thing applies here.
You just read off a whole bunch of them, and it's everything they've done in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how many more do we have to sit there and walk up and down the streets before they decide to do something like that? I mean, I thought a lot of them were doing it in other countries. Apparently, they're doing it in this country, and it's just absurd. That the Democrat Party's allowing it. It really is.
And they're cheering on, you know, efforts to block these criminals from being rounded up. It's crazy. Right on John says this, where the Democrats' message really fails is both Elon Musk and Donald Trump are both super wealthy, but they're going to make this country wealthy again. They're going to make this country profitable again. Under the Democrat rule, America was headed towards bankruptcy. We would have been in a world of hurt.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Very interesting. The judge that helped the Democrats cover up their Russia hoax is now threatening to prosecute Trump officials for ignoring his verbal order. Boasberg is back in the news. Judge Boasberg. He said the court had ultimately determined the Trump administration's actions on the March 15 deportation flights, which took place after he issued a bench ruling ordering the immediate return to U.S. soil, demonstrate a willful disregard for the court, insufficient for the court to be found in criminal contempt, which is sufficient, rather. And should they fail to answer his question by April 23rd, he said he will refer the matter for potential prosecution. Here we go again. More lawfare.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's all you hear about. But how far away is it? And what are the potential threats from AI that could totally upend the way Americans live their lives? What will it do to the job market? What will the unemployment rate be? What does it mean for data privacy or cybersecurity? How about the banking system or national security? The ECB has already warned about a bubble in AI stocks. Could this spread to other sectors? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, this may not be the time to wait and find out. Learn how you could help protect your life savings using precious metals like gold and silver. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. One more time, visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see increasing clouds across the area for today with high temperature readings staying back at around the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. Also seeing some rain shower chances later in the day, especially towards Bozeman. Rain showers turn over to some light snow tonight with 1 to 3 inches in Bozeman, inch or less for areas towards Billings with lows near 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fixing the VA, making Montana's timber industry great again, plus wildfire legislation already clearing the United States Senate. Montana's newly elected U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy dropping by our Montana Talks studios. He joined us in our statewide 9 o'clock hour. We snuck in your calls and much more. If you missed it, check out the full audio on the Montana Talks app. Click the on-demand button, or you can even find the Montana Talks podcast on Spotify and some of your other podcast sources as well.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
Here we are on day 77 of the 2025 legislative session, and we've reached another milestone. This is the day the Senate debates the budget bill in what will be a marathon floor session. As we said before, House Bill 2, also known as the state budget, is the most important bill of the entire legislative session. It began in the House Appropriations Committee, then went to the House floor, where members debated the bill in an all-day session, then transmitted to the Senate Finance Committee, where it was amended and passed to the Senate floor, which brings us to today. Debate begins at 8 a.m. and will probably continue nonstop into the evening. Similar to the House, the Senate chamber is now reconfigured with additional tables filled with computers and members of the Legislative Fiscal Division present to keep track of spending throughout the day. This year's debate is sure to be filled with surprises because of the interesting dynamics created by 9 Senate Republicans who have joined with Senate Democrats to control the process. In school, we were taught that spending is controlled by the House of Representatives, but that's only partially true. In reality, the spending bill does begin in the House, then is sent to the Senate, where the Senate Finance Committee amends the bill to reflect Senate priorities. The bill then goes to the Senate floor, where it's amended further. So by the time the Senate passes the bill, it no longer reflects the priorities of the House of Representatives, but is now in the form that the Senate wants it. The bill then goes to a free conference committee made up of members of both the House and Senate, where members of the House will try to place their priorities back into the bill. The conference committees this session are made up of 2 Republicans and 1 Democrat from each House for a total of 6 members. That means 4 votes are necessary to amend the bill. Normally, that's not an issue, but this session's different. Recent changes to the Senate rules gave the Senate minority leader veto power over the Senate members of the conference committee. Rather than 4 solid conservative votes and 2 liberal votes, there will probably be 2 or 3 conservative votes and 3 or 4 liberal votes on the committee. The liberals, in essence, will control the conference committee. The concrete began to set in favor of the Democrats when the bill was amended to their liking in the Senate Finance Committee and then passed out with all Democrats voting yes, joined by 4 members of the 9 who changed the Senate rules on day 1. Those voting no on the bill included all the rest of the Republicans, including the chairman and vice chairman of the committee. It's hard to explain the impact of that vote. Never before in anyone's recollection has the minority party in any legislative session been given control of the state budget. But that appears to have been what happened here. And it completely changes what will happen during today's debate on the Senate floor. Normally, the bill comes out of committee reflecting the priorities of the majority party. The minority party then makes motion after motion on the floor to amend the bill by adding more money back into it, usually to no avail. In this case, since the bill is already in the form that the Democrats want it, it will be the Republicans proposing the amendment and probably still to no avail. The bill will then go to the conference committee, where amendments will again be rejected because the Democrats in the Senate control the makeup of the committee. In the end, the Democrats won't get everything they wanted. No one ever does. But many of their spending priorities will be included in the bill. The only possibilities for change at that point would be a line item amendatory veto by the governor. With less than 2 weeks to go in the session, we're quickly coming down to the wire. And with respect to House Bill 2, the end seems so near and yet so far. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy, reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
Wow, here they go again. What insight there from Jeff Laszlofy talking about the budget process, conference committees. Effectively, basically now these nine Republicans in the state Senate have basically handed over power over these conference committees. These conference committees are where, okay, the House did this, the Senate did this, okay, now we come together, figure out how we hash it out to come up with the final bill that goes to the governor. They're effectively giving power to the Democrats, effectively overruling the will of the people and the way the people just voted last November. Outrageous. Sounds like there may be good news on property tax relief, though, so we'll talk about that more later on this morning.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Many of us want to lose weight, but diet and exercise are a much better way to do it than, say, having some kind of serious disease. In much the same spirit, we want to see inflation fall, yet it matters how this is done. The March report on the Consumer Price Index, which showed overall prices actually nudging down for the month, had some of that flavor. It's hard to have robust inflation if consumers are reluctant to spend anything. And the economy is driven by consumer spending, that's not good news. It's the most important reason why most forecasters think that when overall economic growth estimates for the first quarter are announced this week, they'll show only a trickle of growth, if any at all. Consumer sentiment and spending alike were depressed even before the financial upheaval of early April. And few of us are reading the March CPI report as indicative of where prices are going. The huge tariffs on Chinese goods will be a rude surprise for consumers and businesses alike, even if only part of the tax bill is passed through. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.